for y'all. Good to be here this morning. It's a blessing to worship the Lord together. Today is Mother's Day, and many times we expect a Mother's Day message, it seems like. And I guess we will have a Mother's Day message this morning. I was thinking about all the things that your mother has done for you. You think about from pregnancy, clear up through raising you, waking up in the middle of the night to feed you or take care of your belly aches or whatever you may had, and making sure that whenever you had a hurt, you got the Band-Aid on, and your dad would have probably said, just tough it up, get over it, it'll be fine. And your mom's sympathetic, and she helps you out, and she loves you and cares about you. And just so many times we need women in our lives to be sensitive to our needs and care about us a little bit more. We'd like to think we're tough, but I think our pain tolerance is probably lower than theirs. But some random thoughts, I guess, before we get into the message here. But a married woman, especially a mother's life, seems to be filled with serving her husband and serving her children. There's a lot of service. And yes, I know men go out and work and serve their families in that way, but there is something about a mother's work that about time that she thinks she's going to have a little bit of what we call me time. You hear this, Mom, I need this. Mom, I need that. And just think, there are many rewards to being a mother, I believe. I've never been a mother and never will be. But in a Christian home, to have a husband and children that love you and the blessings that are there, I think we each are blessed by our mothers. And have you appreciated the sacrifice that your mother has made for you? You only get one mother. Well, the sermon for this morning, I would like to look at Jesus' mother. I've been kind of looking at the women in Jesus' life, and I realize you didn't hear the sermon on Mary Magdalene that I shared with the congregation at Lenaway, but I hope to share that at some point because I was inspired by Mary Magdalene's life. But I want to look at Jesus' mother this morning since it's Mother's Day. And I have a lot of random points that probably all run together, but I just want to kind of go through the life of Mary and what she experienced and take some lessons that not only apply to mothers, but it could apply to all of us in our lives and put those practical points to work. First of all, I'd like to say that God promised a Savior clear back when Adam and Eve fell. He said that the serpent's head was going to be crushed, bruised. Christ's heel was going to be bruised. And we have that prophecy. And then God kept unfolding and revealing little bits and pieces of how this was going to come about. And when we get to Isaiah, in Isaiah 7, verse 14, maybe we should just turn to this. This is the verse that specifically says that a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. I will just turn there to get the words exactly the way the King James Version puts it. And it says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And then it goes on and gives a few more details there. But the children of Israel had this promise. The Jewish people had this promise, and they knew that this was something that was going to happen, and they looked forward to this. And I believe they taught their daughters, they taught their children that this would be something that would be a privilege and this would be a blessing, and it would happen someday. But just like us, we kind of say the Lord's returning, but we just don't know when, and we don't know exactly what the time is going to be. And when it does happen, we'll say, well, That was kind of surprising. I didn't expect it this day. And the Bible even promises that it's a day and an hour than when we think not. Well, a couple points here for this morning. We're going to look mostly at the book of Luke. In Luke 1, you can turn to Luke 1, verse 26. Maybe I should just read this whole chapter of Luke. Maybe we'll just start here with Luke 1:26, because many of the points are taken out of the story here in the book of Luke. And it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall God shall give him, unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So the first point I want to bring out here this morning is God does the choosing. There were many children, young ladies. This girl was a teenager. I don't think there's any debate about that. She was in her teenage years, and the Holy Ghost, or the angel, came to her. And it wasn't because that she had some special privileged family, she had some special child training talents, or that she was the most beautiful or the most talented at certain things. She wasn't the richest person around. But God picked her. He saw something in Mary. There was some reason. It was God's timing, and we don't understand how these things go about. But she was chosen by God. And being chosen by God is something that I think we all find different places where God chooses us to be. He places us in certain circumstances. He gives us certain responsibilities. He closes doors and opens doors, and we wonder why, and we don't understand these things. But there's a little verse of a song that goes through my head once in a while. Maybe you've heard this song already, but it has this little phrase in it. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. I don't think Mary felt like she was qualified necessarily to be the mother of Jesus, but God had called her to that spot, and she was willing to serve. One little side note here, the angel Gabriel was the same angel that went and spoke to Daniel, and Daniel had some visions of some of these events taking place as well. The kingdom that was destroyed, and a new kingdom was set up that reigned over the whole earth after the vision of Nebuchadnezzar. So it was just interesting to me that this was the same angel hundreds of years later. He didn't age like we do. But anyway, God does the choosing. The second part that kind of runs into that, but the fact that Mary was willing to be used by God. So a lot of times we say, God, I'm not qualified to do this. I'm not qualified to necessarily be a father. I'm not necessarily qualified to fill this role. I don't know how to do this job. I don't know how to do this assignment that you've given me. And maybe we have some questions here. Mary was like, how is this going to happen? I don't understand it. What is going to take place here? And God gave her some answers, but a lot of things, he didn't give her a whole list, a paragraph of things of step by step how this was all going to happen. She had a lot of questions that were still remaining, but she was willing to be used by God. And I just like the way she just said, be it unto me according to thy word. She accepted it. She didn't resent it. She didn't say, wow, this is a great blessing. She just accepted it and moved on. And we know that Mary wasn't specially qualified and talented. I should have pointed this out in the first part, but we'll read this here in the next section. And that is, she specifically says it down in here in her song that he regarded the low estate of his handmaid. and from henceforth all generations will call me blessed. She saw the blessing in it after she accepted God's leading in her life. Well, this third one that kind of runs into the first and second one as well is she accepted God's work, but it brought a lot of misunderstanding. Even her fiance did not understand what was going on here. And I believe her family and people around her were, she was doing God's work. And sometimes, I guess my thought is, sometimes we're doing God's work and maybe it looks strange to our neighbors. Maybe it looks strange to other people that we're doing something different than what they think we should be doing. Maybe other people have thoughts and ideas of what we should be doing, and we're not doing what they have for expect us to do. And we see this in Matthew 1:19. It says that Joseph wanted to put her away privately. He thought that she was not a faithful companion to him. And since they were not married, he was going to be the honorable man and say, this is not correct. But of course, we know that God intervened in those circumstances and changed things. But we look at the world around us, and the world says, wow, what you have this large family. That's very countercultural, I guess you would say, to have a large family or to do some of the simple, plain living. They don't see the joy in the things that we do. They don't see the reasons why we do the things we do. And they don't understand modesty. They don't understand simple living. They don't understand trusting the Lord and not carrying insurance or whatever it is. You could fill in the blank with many things that non-resistance. You mean you would let somebody just run off with your vehicle and you wouldn't shoot at them or whatever. There's just many things like this, that concepts that people look and misunderstand the Christian. And Mary was certainly misunderstood in this circumstance, but we can see she went to her cousin Elizabeth, and I think that was part of it. She just was ready to kind of, I don't know what you would say, just get away from town, kind of not put a bad light on her family name maybe. But when she went to Elizabeth, she found someone that was in similar circumstances to her. And this point number four, she found joy in sharing with someone that was in a similar circumstance. And I think we can all understand this. If we're in landscaping, or if we're in electrical work, or if we're in farming, whatever, we like to share with people that are experiencing the same things and understand our occupation and understand circumstances that we're facing in life, some struggles in life that we're facing. Mary was able to find her support person, I guess you would call it, in Elizabeth, her much older cousin. Clearly, Elizabeth was probably 40 years older than her or more. And they were able to spend time together and encourage each other. They might not have known each other very well, but I think they probably kept in contact after this point. But to share with others, Mary found strength in sharing with others would be my point in this. They could encourage each other because they had something in common. Well, the fifth point here is that Mary realized that she was blessed. And I just want to read this section here. In Luke 1, verse 46 to 56, we have, this is the most that we hear from Mary. Of course, the Gospels are about Jesus, so it's not really, the focus isn't on Mary. We don't worship Mary. But these are the words that Mary had to say. So starting here at verse 46, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his hand.